Paul Reed, the CEO of Trickle, introduced me to a business improvement concept from Singapore that I'd never heard of before, but I've recently become rather obsessed with it. It's gross. G-R-O-S-S. Get rid of the stupid stuff. We might have big personal or career goals, but if we're not getting rid of the stupid stuff in our work life, then we're reducing our capacity for joy at work. In this conversation, Paul explains how he came across the concept and the sister concept of broken windows. I'll let him explain that one. Once you hear the tangible results of this concept, I guarantee you'll feel compelled to take action in your very next meeting. Let's dive in. Paul, can you tell me a little about how you came across the idea of gross and why it had such an impact on you?
Okay, so I can't take any credit for it, first of all. It's attributed to the Singapore General Hospital, and we do a lot of work at Trickle with healthcare organisations, so the NHS and other medical kind of organisations. And one of my GP customers sent me a link to an article in the British Medical Journal, I think it was. And it was actually to do with the politics in the UK. So one of the MPs had been over to Singapore, had come across this gross, which is get rid of stupid stuff, at Singapore General Hospital, and thought, actually, we should be asking this within the UK NHS. So it resonated with this colleague or friend of mine, because I'm a bit of an improvement geek, right? Continuous improvement is my thing. And he'd heard me rabbiting on previously about a thing called broken windows, and the two are very similar. I'll touch on those later, but that's where I first heard about gross. It was very recently, actually.
Fabulous. And okay, so what frustrations do you see in your work that the idea of gross helps solve?
So I'm lucky, right? Because I've worked in the startup scene like most of my life, most of my career. And I think in the startup sector, we do a lot of test and learn. So it's, hey, let's try this thing out. It didn't work very well. Let's learn from it. Let's change, right? It's iterative. It's agile. So I've been lucky in that respect. But in my previous business, where we worked with lots of big organizations, thousands and thousands of employees, our experience of that is that the status quo just, it's like, you can't challenge this, right? This is just the way that we work. So what I love about gross and broken windows is that they're about having everyday conversations. So gross is simply, what are we doing that's stupid, right? Well, can we talk about the stupid things that frustrate us? And can we just understand if there's anything we can do to change it, right? Because a lot of the ways that we work were recipes that were made up at a point in time. It may have been a year ago, it may have been 5 years ago. And people come, people go, and we train around them, and we just do them. And what I love about gross is it's that challenge. It's that everyday challenge. It's okay to say, is this sensible or is it actually silly? And could we do it a lot better now? So one of my first businesses, my previous business, we were a software organization. So we created a product for the utility space, and we transformed that organization really positively by using the broken windows approach, which is similar to gross, but instead of saying get rid of stupid stuff, it's based on a criminology study in the States, which said, if you take a derelict building and it's secured, and then another derelict building, and you deliberately break a window, if you go back a week later, the building that's secured will be fine, but the one with the broken window will be practically demolished. And the theory there is that people look after the things in their neighbourhood if they look like they're kept, and the desire and the intention is to keep them in a good condition. So I use this analogy as the workplace, right? What are the broken windows within the workplace that really we should make sure, number one, ideally they don't get broken in the first place, but two, if there are things that are broken, what can you do to improve them quickly? And we did that across this organization, and it meant that we had like over 90% of people recommended it as a great place to work. And we used to continually win contracts against organizations that literally had thousands of times more staff. And the reason for that was that people, number one, were happy to speak up. Number two, they knew that we weren't going to stand there and say, oh, that's a stupid idea. And number three, when you show that you're listening and you make change, then people get a sense of trust. They speak up more, and you start to innovate in at a speed and at a pace that other people find it difficult to match. So my experience is, do that and you'll have a really happy, progressive organization.
Fabulous. And let's be a bit more practical about it. So what practical ideas have you implemented or seen implemented in organisations that you work with that might inspire someone, an individual listening today, to engage a little bit more in thinking?
So our platform actually helps organisations speak up, right, and to capture ideas and capture suggestions. And one of my favourites from the last year is one of our customers in NHS Scotland, and one of their junior doctors raised the frustration about the time it took to receive the results of an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound scan of the heart. So they would perform the scan, and then it would take around 30 minutes to get the results from that. So they raised it as a frustration. Our platform prioritised it. They discussed it at their bi-weekly leadership team meeting. And then 7 weeks later, after a whole load of discussion and anonymous suggestions, etc., they've created a workaround and they got it down to pretty much real time. And that one example was kind of, hey, this is a relatively silly thing that we've just been doing for a while when really there was a workaround. And we reckon it saved them about £25,000 a year, just that one. And that was one of about 183 things that they'd completed that year. So they're not always easy to quantify like that financially, right? But in this case, it was because it was a time saving, and you can equate that to how much more efficient they were based on salaries, etc. It could be anything. It can be small things. But in that case, that was something that really improved the employee morale, but also improved the patient outcomes, right? Because the doctors are actually doing more with the time that they've got available.
So the creation of time, the saving of money, and the allocation of whatever the long list of mini broken windows, allocating the energy to do that, makes a big difference on the
massive
impact of that.
Yeah. So some people would call it micro transformations. In our platform, we call them trickles, but essentially they're conversations. And you know that you're talking about the most important things. Therefore, if you can reach solutions on those, then they tend to have big impact, especially if you're doing that every couple of weeks. Over time, they accumulate and your efficiency improves. And generally, your happiness across your people improves as well.
Because they all have a voice. They can say, this is a broken window in my area. And it can either move up or down the priority list, but it gets acknowledged.
Absolutely.
And then actioned if it's at the top of the priority list. That sounds absolutely fantastic.
What's really interesting, though, Lucia, is that it's not always about fixing things, right? It's about talking about things. That's a really important part, because I think a lot of organisations think if we listen to our people and what they find frustrating, they're going to expect us to fix everything. And that's not where the value comes, right? Oftentimes, people are just happy to hear why something can't happen. Because if you take the traditional approach to engaging people, especially in large organisations, it's an annual survey, right? Answer 50 questions and a few months later, you'll get some updates. Whereas if it's like, hey, we can't do anything about this because we might be able to look at it again in 6 months' time, those conversations don't often happen. And that engagement can really help people feel like a greater sense of belonging in the workplace.
And also engagement for the long term. Yeah, I've been heard, I've been listened to, and it's been put on the side for now, but let's bring it back to the table in 6 months' time.
Yeah, lovely. Exactly.
Brilliant.
And just to close back the loop on gross or broken windows, the magic of those things is that they encourage a psychologically safe space, right? Because the organization's saying, hey, let's talk about the stupid stuff we're doing. Or they're saying, hey, let's talk about the broken windows that we have in our organization. And that's what gets people familiar and comfortable with that everyday conversation. And then change just happens, right? Continuous improvement just happens.
In trickles.
In trickles in our world, yeah.
If you enjoyed this, you might also enjoy my life satisfaction assessment. It's a 30-minute program where I guide you through a deep dive into 10 areas of your life to assess what's bringing you joy and what's bringing you down. I call it Derailed. It's a fabulous place to begin a joy at work redesign.